Excuse me, sir. Sir, are you Jeff Loeb?
Why, yes, I am. Oh! What? Why are you pummeling me?
Oh. Hang on. Hold that thought a second.
Wait. Oh! What are you doing with that baseball bat? You're breaking every bone in my body.
Yeah, you're right. Too slow. All right, come with me.
Oh, where are we going? No, put me down.
I'll be right back.
This is awful. Oh, what are you doing with that car? What are you planning to do with that? Oh, you're running me over. I should have seen that coming. What else could you be planning with that car? Oh, you're crushing my. Oh, I don't even have bones in my leg anymore. It's just like a bag of meat and glass.
Still alive, Jeff Love!
Yes, but I wish I weren't. I wish I weren't.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
What?
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Ragnarok. I'm Meyer.
I'm Ed.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
And I am Eric.
And I'm also Ed still.
And I'm also Meyer.
I'm not Alex anymore.
Yeah, I stopped being Eric. That was boring.
I changed my name.
Good for you, Eric. Good for you.
To Phineas Q. Hodgepile.
Now I want to be more friends with you.
I have no idea who I'm talking to, but we're going to start the podcast. Woo! Podcast topic today is the San Diego Comic-Con 2011, Episode 5. The Living Spider.
Spiders. Oh, we're going to get sued.
Why would we get sued for saying spiders?
Because spiders hate publicists.
It's a nostalgia critic thing.
Oh, that's true. They do hate publicists.
Yes. Spiders. Whatever word I was trying to say there is what they hate.
I'm saying spiders, like spiders.
Comic-Con is kind of like a Frankenstein of cons now. It's like everything at Comic-Con. So, we're going to be discussing our favorite parts of Comic-Con. Personally, my favorite thing at Comic-Con happened at the Amazing Spider-Man panel.
Was it amazing?
I think it was pretty amazing. What happened was, basically, Andrew Garfield, who's playing Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Who's British.
Who is pretty British.
Yeah. All the way.
He was in
British.
Doctor Who.
He was also in Red Riding Trilogy Part 1.
Which episode of Doctor Who was
it? With the Pigmen.
Okay.
Yeah, wasn't he the smart guy?
He developed the
Atmos.
Right. That was a different episode. That wasn't the Pigmen episode.
I thought he was in the Atmos episode.
No, he was in the Pigmen episode.
Which one was the Pigmen episode?
Like, they were in New York City and like I don't know.
Right. Doesn't matter now. Let's keep going.
Anyway. So, Andrew Garfield, before the panel started, a guy dressed up in a Spider-Man costume came up to the microphone where
Don't tell me. It was Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, no.
Was it a new Spider-Man costume, or was it, like,
Tobey? It was old. It was kind of cheesy old Spider-Man costume that you can probably find in any, costume store. But, and all of a sudden, the guy's like, oh, this is my first ever Comic-Con. I'm so excited to be here. He takes his mask off, and it's Andrew Garfield. Oh, I lied to you.
No, we're forgetting about Tobey Maguire. He's old news.
Who's Tobey Maguire?
Exactly.
He's a guy who's now getting in trouble for doing huge bets on poker. Oh. Anyway.
Just like the gamble he took when he made Spider-Man 3.
Mwah, mwah.
Kirsten Dunst. Anyway, Andrew Garfield, he reveals himself. There's this big, long speech. It's that about, what Spider-Man means to him and how, and it was so genuine and heartwarming. You could really tell, he was a fan of Spider-Man. And I don't know. It was just an amazing speech. Every time I watch it, I just get smile. And
get a boner?
A little bit. It's the accent. And I am 100% sold on Andrew Garfield now because, it was just amazing speech. Did you You guys hear it?
No.
No.
No, I did not.
Although I have to say, liking Spider-Man and being a good Spider-Man are two different things.
I think his love of Spider-Man is going to show in the movie and make it...
It can help, but translate doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be good.
I don't so much question his ability as Spider-Man, but I don't know how I feel about the movie itself. But, you know, I mean...
I mean, I can kind of understand why they're doing it, because Marvel wants to move everything in-house.
Right.
You know, because they have their own production company now.
Well, that's Spider-Man's not owned by...
I'm pretty sure Sony still owns the rights to Spider-Man.
Yeah, Sony owns...
In that case, then, I have no idea why they're remaking the movie.
Well, because they were going to make Spider-Man 4, and Sam Raimi walked out, and pretty much everyone who was originally involved with it was causing problems with walking out, and Sony was like, oh, fuck it, we'll just reboot.
Yeah, I also think,
that way we can pretend Spider-Man 3 never happened.
It's the same reason they're talking about rebooting Fantastic Four is, like, their contract is, like, they have to make so many movies, like, within, like, a certain amount of years to keep the rights to making those movies. That's why they have Fantastic Four, I think, owns, and X-Men. Is X-Men? I don't think X-Men is either.
No, they don't own X-Men either.
Yeah, so, like, I think that's why they keep, like, making movies, because, you know, they want to keep the rights and don't want, Marvel and Disney getting those rights again.
But I wish Marvel had the rights to Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and X-Men.
Yeah. Well, the first class wasn't atrocious. But anyway, that is not Comic-Con.
Yeah. And also during the panel, this is not one of my favorite, there's the features, but then they showed the Lizard, who was kind of cheap, stupid looking. And apparently the guy who's playing Kurt... I forgot his name. He's a Welsh guy, who's playing Kurt Connors. But he apparently assaulted a security guard before the panel and then got arrested after the panel. I read that some of his friends wanted to, get into the panel and stuff, and the security guard wasn't letting them, and he, pushed the security guard.
Did he lose his arm?
I don't know. They didn't say that.
That would help with the real.
They said he did get arrested for assault after the panel, but
at least they let him do the panel.
Yeah,
it's probably all the Lizard hormones.
Mm. Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of get to a guy.
Method actor.
Yep.
But yeah, that was my favorite thing.
All right.
No, Ed.
Well, my favorite thing is not something so much new. It's Doctor Who, which is an old show.
Doctor what?
Yeah, funny. Okay.
Doctor Who.
It's
just the Doctor.
Doctor Who is almost a 50-year-old show, not exactly. 1963, I believe, it premiered.
50 next year.
Yeah. So it premiered in
1963, then it would be 2 years until it's 50.
Yeah, okay. So 2 years until it's 50. Premiered in 1963 in Britain, but it has sort of exploded over here, I would say, in the past... 5 or 6 years?
It got rebooted in 2004.
I wouldn't say it. I would say it gained popularity over the past 5 or 6 years. It sort of exploded over the past year.
I'd say
or two.
2 or 3 years. Yeah.
David Tennant, I think.
Yeah. With David Tennant. But the Doctor, he doesn't die, he regenerates. So we have David Tennant popularized it in America, and now we have Matt Smith playing the Doctor. And Matt Smith and Karen Gillan, who plays his companion, Amy Tyler. Amy Pond.
Rose Tyler.
Mixing companions here.
Amy Pond and Matt's... So Karen Gillan and Matt Smith were both there. Also writer Toby Whitehouse and producers Piers Wagner and Beth Willis were at ICON doing panels and interviews.
ICON or Comic-Con?
Comic-Con. I don't know. I wrote Icon, but I meant Comic-Con. Sorry. So they were at Comic-Con, and they were doing interviews. And just the stuff that they also played a trailer for the new season, or for the rest of Series 6.
I saw it.
Which the trailer looked pretty cool, and what they had to say about Doctor Who got me very excited for the upcoming series. First off, it's supposed to come back in late August.
Which is soon.
On BBC America, so I actually don't know when it's going to be coming back. Probably the way they've been doing it is they premiered a week earlier.
No, it was doing, the same day. This series was the same.
Oh, it was just the, like the last two episodes. They
because
did
it was a it was Labor right. Day or whatever.
Yeah, it was American holiday.
No, is this the second half of series six?
Yeah, or yeah. This will be the rest of series six. It's not a new series. But so we're gonna get six episodes, and Stephen Moffat, he wasn't at Comic-Con, but he has promised that in the next six episodes. You'll get answers to all your questions while seeing absolute standalone episodes mixed in. So it sounds like we're going to get some classic Doctor Who there.
It's going to be some pretty full episodes.
Yeah. And basically, I mean, we've seen a bit more of the Doctor's dark side for these in this series. And what Moffat has promised is that in the next couple of episodes... we're going to see more of the dark side of a man who could have caused the end of the universe, and basically that he's always making huge choices that affect the lives of countless people, only to kind of run off afterwards. In the next couple of episodes, we're going to bring him face to face with the consequences of that on an intergalactic and domestic level.
Hmm. Sounds interesting.
Which sounds kind of cool. Anytime the Doctor has to face... what he, you know, like the Time Lord triumphant, Time Lord victorious episode.
When, Wars of Mars, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever the Doctor has to face what he's done is brilliant.
I kind of feel they always, like, a lot of times, and this is not just Doctor Who, but, like, other shows, they always, oh, it's this person's going to face their darkest hour or something.
I don't think they're saying that. They're saying that he's going to have to face the repercussions of the things he's done.
Yeah, I just feel like they say that a lot, though. Not that I'm complaining, but...
I understand what you mean. I mean, I think that it goes with the territory of the Doctor, and he... because this Doctor hasn't faced consequences yet. David Tennant has. The Tenth Doctor has, the Ninth Doctor has, but for all intents and purposes...
The last episode, he kind of faced his some things.
Well, a little bit.
At the end.
The trailer looked really cool. The trailer, basically, it showed us... that we're going to be getting some new foes and some old foes will be returning. From the trailer, it seems we're going to get Cybermen, the Weeping Angels, and Madame Kavarian, who was the Eye Patch Lady. Okay. The Impossible Astronaut, who was the astronaut that shot the Doctor, and the Silence, at least, will be coming back. We're going to get some new, scary, bizarre Doctor Who aliens. I don't know what they are, but there was a Minotaur thing, there was a creepy dummy, there were some robots, kind of cool looking.
And the Tenant. Was back, the Lodger.
Yeah, and some Series Craig 5 Owens. Characters. Craig Owens, he's going to be back. Winston Churchill is going to be back.
Mm, nice.
There was a shot of Winston Churchill holding a gun.
they said the new episode's called Let's Call Hitler, so apparently...
Let's Kill Hitler.
Let's Kill Hitler.
Hey, there was also that clip of Hitler saying,
you saved my life, which was brilliant.
So probably Winston Churchill will be in that episode.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
that makes sense.
And it looks exciting. You know, it looks like it's going to be a lot of what we love, but it's also going to be new stuff.
Do you think it's going to be old school Cybermen or the new Cybermen from this series?
I mean, I think they're going to go with the new Cybermen. You know, I don't think they're going to go back to old school Cybermen.
Well, they had the old school Cybermen in the season finale.
They did. In the Big Bang. Yeah.
They might. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, Stephen Moffat has promised that we're not going to rehash old stuff, but he already kind of lied about that.
I think because Stephen Moffat is a very big Doctor Who fan. I think he might go, he likes kind of throwing obscure stuff at us.
Yeah.
His episodes are always my favorites.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman episode of this series was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one, but...
Oh, it was fantastic.
Right.
Ryan? All right. I'm probably going to take some crap for this.
Not for me.
But my favorite part of Comic-Con this year was Hasbro's My Little Pony presence there.
Yay.
It looked like they...
Ryan, can you do me a favor? Just tighten your bra a little bit. It looks like you're...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Thank you.
All right, I'm all set now. I'm not lopsided anymore. All right.
And hike up your pants because your thong is showing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it matches my socks, so I'm not that concerned.
I think we just lost half of yours.
All right.
Oh, I'll gain a couple more with this.
They had a bunch of really awesome posters printed up. They gave them out to the first 5,000 people who made it to their booths.
5,000 people went to the booth. That's
right. I'm sure some of them got multiple copies of that poster, and that those things are going to be on eBay or circulating around the community rather soon.
I'm really hoping they do that again for the New York one.
Of those 5,000, what do you think the ratio was to like young girls to grown men?
I say what you want about it, but there is a large percentage, like there's a pretty following. Adult male following.
Well, the other thing too is, it's not just the bronies, it's the people who have been, you know, collecting My Little Ponies for 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like whatever Hasbro has to do has to walk the line between, you know, remaining true to its fans who have been fans for the past three decades and, you know, keeping the bronies happy. And they're a very loud and complainy bunch.
Which ones? The bronies?
The bronies, yes. These toys aren't good enough for us. Make us better toys, Hasbro.
Excuse me, but the Applejack didn't even come with a hat. She
needs
a hat.
She did have the figures.
I have the toys.
She did have that awful awesome. That awful pink Apple car.
Yes, that was pretty stupid.
Yeah. I feel like they're doing a good job of trying to please both sets. Let's see what else. I mentioned the posters. They had I don't know if it was a life-size statue of Pinkie Pie, because I'm not really sure how the ponies translate into real life, because obviously the laws of physics...
They're smaller than a horse.
They're smaller than a horse, yes.
Probably Ryan, Eric doesn't know that Pinkie Pie doesn't really exist. Nothing, Eric.
She was hanging out with me.
But they had a height or weight, like Pinkie Pie.
They had a very large statue of Pinkie Pie, and I remember thinking to myself when I saw that squee, I would have totally taken a picture with that had I gone to San Diego Comic Con.
Would you be behind the Pinkie Pie?
No.
I will say that I did watch two episodes of My Little Pony. I didn't care for the show. I thought Pinkie Pie was funny.
And she's funnier in other episodes besides the two that you saw. Mm-hmm. I didn't think she had, well, besides Black Snooty, she didn't really have very many good lines in the pilot.
I watched 5 minutes of it. That's good. That's good enough.
I've watched none of it.
I have all of it on my computer.
I'm working on that. 1080p downloads. Hasbro also made a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive pony figurine, which a lot of people in the Brony community weren't that excited about. But I thought it looked kind of cool. It was kind of a weird goth pony thing, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty unique collector's item. I can't see that actually selling in Toys R Us. So, you know, you go to Comic Con, you get that thing, and you know, people know that you got something special. There was also a voice actors panel that featured Tara Strong, who is the voice of one of the main characters, Twilight Sparkle.
She hot?
I think she's middle-aged.
Okay.
She's pretty attractive from what I remember.
Not to say to all, any of our middle-aged fans that we may or may not have, that middle-aged people aren't attractive.
They're ugly.
MILF.
Okay. But Tara Strong, also known for doing Timmy Turner on The Fairly Odd Parents.
I like that show.
That is a good show.
She's Princess Clara and Drawn Together. She's a lot of things. Tara Strong is
one of the Powerpuff Girls too, wasn't she?
She was Bubbles, right?
Yeah, I think so. She
those voice actors tend to get around.
Yeah. The video I saw, they were asking her to do, you know, the voices of the different characters, and she said, and I could also do Rugrats when I cooed for my money. I thought that was pretty hilarious. She got paid to go, and I was insanely jealous of that. Maybe she was.
That she cooed?
Well, no, someone paid her to do that.
Oh.
I mean, I guess it wore out her voice, and being a voice actor is probably an extremely taxing profession. But you know, no one's ever paid me to make noise into a microphone.
I'll pay you to stop making noise into this microphone about ponies.
Okay,
I'll pay you not to.
And the other thing, finally, I saw some pretty awesome cosplays. Saw some Rainbow Dash and some Pinkie Pie and, yeah.
Applejack?
I don't think
people
they were.
People cosplayed as ponies?
Yes.
But they have four legs.
It's like furries, probably.
I actually did see some kind of a furry meet where they had Rainbow Dash and an Applejack, like, full costumes.
Oh, you heard Rainbow Dash was horrifying, but I saw that.
Yeah, that was on EQD a while back.
EQD?
Equestria Daily.
I've heard Rainbow Dash is a lesbian. Is that true?
That's a big issue of debate.
That's this fandom likes to say she is. But, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Ponies are ponies.
I think that's the message is it doesn't matter. You can be whatever you want to be, and that's okay.
Yep.
As long as you're a fucking pony.
All right.
I very much appreciate that, Ryan.
Well, I don't mean. I just mean, who cares? Just a lesbian.
See, I figured
like Dumbledore's gay. Who cares?
Okay.
I figured I would do it because they would give you insane amounts of shit for it, and I have thicker skin than you are. So.
I don't know. I'm pretty thick.
All right. So ACOS. All right.
Well, my favorite thing. Was the Bryans. And I'm talking about the new series that were announced by Brian K. Vaughan and Brian Lee O'Malley. I'm not sure if the Brian Lee O'Malley one was announced at Comic-Con.
On Twitter, I think he took a picture.
Right. But and I think I'm even more excited about the new series by Brian K. Vaughan coming out next year called Saga.
Oh.
From what I've heard, Brian K. Vaughan said, quote, that is a balls-to-the-wall sci-fi book. And I'm really looking forward to it because I love Why the Last Man. I love Ex Machina, and Brian K. Vaughan is really good. He wrote some great episodes of Lost, too. And apparently, this story in Saga is going to be about, you know, a family. He said, you know, sort of inspired by him having kids. But it's going to be set in, like, an epic sci-fi universe, which, you know, I love sci-fi, so that would be good. And he also said he wants it to run longer than Ex Machina, which ran for 50 issues, so this could be going on for
51 60.
Could be 51. Could be 60. Why was 60?
Why was 60?
So, I mean, or maybe he wants to be an ongoing series. But it's creator-owned, too. He's publishing it through Image instead of some of the big publishers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he said, you know, they were also, he was interviewed, and he said that, you know, he loves Marvel and DC, but he feels like they're, you know, sort of like arguing divorced parents.
Yep.
And, you know, he's moving out of their house, and now he's at community college where he's on his own, but he has a lot more responsibility, too, to go with the more freedom.
Yeah. I'd have to check that out. I enjoyed Why.
Yeah.
Why was pretty solid.
I got my dad to read Why. Yeah. And my dad doesn't read comics.
I liked everything about it but the end.
Yeah. Well, you guys have to read Ex Machina, too, because that was pretty good.
I haven't finished Ex Machina, but I read.
Oh, well, you have to read the ending.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Ex Machina was really good. I mean, you wouldn't think that a story about a guy who was mayor of New York would make for a good superhero comic, but it did.
Yeah.
Reformed superhero turned mayor of New York.
Yeah, Brian K. Vaughan is one of my favorite comic book writers.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other one, which said Brian Lee O'Malley, who is the guy who wrote Scott Pilgrim, his new one is called Seconds. It's not coming out until 2013, though. But
yeah.
He said it's going to be this. It's actually not a series; it's a standalone graphic novel, and there's no more details than that.
Yeah, I saw the Twitter picture. It was just like, it said just seconds.
That's
all
I really need. I definitely want to read just because of his Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim.
I'm already
awesome.
Interested just from hearing that.
Yeah. So. I just picked up the books of Scott Pilgrim. I've been reading through them again.
Fantastic.
It's just so good, and I love it. So I figure, well, I'll at least, you know, buy that so I can read it because I love Scott Pilgrim.
Just read really slow so you can hold off until 2013.
I read one page of Scott Pilgrim a day.
Yeah. Brian Lee O'Malley's another person I'm inspired by.
He has a really interesting style, like that manga-ish style.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's from Canada, so why would he be drawing manga? It's crazy talk.
People from Canada are weird.
I like Canada. Not the French-speaking part.
No, you had bad experience in French Canada.
I liked it.
You did almost get accosted by a mentally handicapped Frenchman.
Canada's pretty good, though. I like Canada. If anyone's from Canada, you're cool.
I also...
And if you're French-Canadian, you probably don't understand us.
Well, you speak French. Translate.
I also really enjoyed the...
Meyer... Meyer ne pas le Québécois.
Sorry,
guys.
There we go.
That's
all
right. Useful.
I was also
ne pas le Québécois.
You don't have to correct it, Ed. No one cares.
I'm sure there are some French Canadians who care.
I'm not listening to this. The other thing I really liked that came out of Comic-Con was the quote-unquote lost scene from Lost, which I just played for these guys earlier.
That was hilarious.
With Jacob and the Man in Black arguing about, you know, sort of just making fun of the show and the ending and the plot. But, you know, they I was reading they got them, the two actors, onto a back lot at one of the studios and, you know, filmed them in their old costumes as the characters and even spliced it into a scene from season one.
It was pretty well done.
Yeah. And, they you know, they made it just for Comic-Con, and it was pretty funny.
You have a bad attitude, Barry.
Don't call me that. Yeah, this apparently the Man in Black's name is Barry. So if you guys, you should check that out. We can try to post a link.
It's not canon, though.
No. Well, no, it took place in the show.
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, those were my favorite parts of Comic-Con. Eric?
All right, well, I'm going to have to say my favorite part, even though the ponies were a part of it. Since Ryan took that, I'm going to have to go with...
I stole it.
I'm going to have to go with the announcement of Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Because honestly...
Or as it's commonly known, Mivic 3.
Well, Umivic 3 now. Right.
Umivic 3. That's just silly.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if you could beat having Dormammu and MODOK in a game.
I don't know. Well, we have a nice little lineup of new characters in this one. The game's... Huh?
There's this new... Is this in addition to the ones they had, or...
In addition.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to have a couple of new modes, but the thing that I was really looking forward to was the 12 new characters. Only four of them were officially announced. Officially announced were Strider Hiryu and Firebrand on the Capcom side. That's from the Strider series, and I remember Firebrand from Demon's Crest, the Gargoyles Quest games and such like that. And then on Marvel's side, we had Ghost Rider and Hawkeye. Those are the four officially announced characters. But from what I'm reading, apparently someone got these other characters. The rest of the roster leaked. Someone's probably getting fired over at Capcom over this. But the rest of the roster, if the leak can be believed, we've got on Marvel's side, we're going to be seeing Doctor Strange.
So Dormammu will have someone to fight.
Iron Fist is going to be in it. Nova.
Yeah.
And everyone's most well-known character, Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
He's an anthropomorphic raccoon.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
He knows Nova. I know Rocket Raccoon.
And we've brought the conversation back to furry.
is the living tree going to be with him? The living tree? The talking tree?
I
think his name is Groom.
Something, yeah.
As far as I know, it's just him.
Well, Rocket Raccoon's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
I know who I'm playing. My team is going to be Nova, Rocket Raccoon, and Iron Fist.
Well, then everybody loves Iron Fist.
We got Capcom, though. Capcom's characters are pretty nice. The one pretty much everyone has been begging for since Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was announced. It was supposed to be in Tatsunoko vs. Capcom 2. Also, Phoenix Wright is finally making his game debut. His
objection.
Game debut.
Objection.
Exactly.
I think Meyer's objecting to him being in the game.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I just wanted to say it.
From Dead Rising, we have Frank West.
Or the other
guy.
What?
He's a guy.
He is.
He's not the other guy, though.
Nope.
What was he a Dead Rising 2 guy's name?
I honestly don't remember.
I didn't like Dead Rising, so I didn't play Dead Rising 2.
From Devil May Cry, we have Virgil.
Okay, he's on my team, too.
And another Resident Evil character, we have Nemesis.
Huh. Interesting.
And this is all if the leak is to be believed, but from what I've been reading, it's almost a lock. It's almost guaranteed that these are the characters that are going to be
in the game. As long as we get Rocket Raccoon, I'm okay.
Absolutely.
He really should be the only character in the game, I think.
I don't know why they
And Dormammu and MODOK.
Yes.
Well, Rocket Raccoon sounds like the kind of person you don't want to fuck with in a fight.
That would be my team. Dormammu, MODOK, and Rocket Raccoon.
Uh-huh.
I think I'd have to replace Dormammu with Phoenix Wright, though.
I hope he has some kind of special rabies move.
Then at the end, he casually just a boy to shoot him. Sorry, Rocket.
I don't know. Have any of you ever come in contact with that raccoon? They're nasty motherfuckers.
I've heard. I mean, if you give him a rocket, just forget it.
Anything with a rocket.
I just don't get how they can include these cosmic level characters in the game. Like Nova. He could blow up spaceships with one finger. Like,
well, yeah, but to be fair, Dormammu is a god of his own universe.
Right.
I don't see either one of them losing to Frank West.
Yeah, like how is Phoenix Wright supposed to compare against a guy who can make stargates and teleport halfway across the universe with a single thought?
Yeah, and like, you know, Wolverine can heal.
Well,
like,
he could just start. He could start doing it, and then Phoenix Wright would say objection, and he'd have to stop.
Oh, that's gonna so be a move.
Definitely.
There's a lot of pretty ridiculous characters. Like, how can they not loot when...
I know.
From what I heard, that was one of the reasons he wasn't included in Tatsunoko vs. Capcom 2, was because the objection was too weird to do, because in Japan, they would have to have it in Japanese, and it would be, like, a much bigger hitbox for the move than it would be in English. So, yeah.
Hmm. Wondering how... Objection in Japanese takes more Mega characters Man. Than in English.
I mean, though... Most of the Japanese, they teach English in Japan. So
in Japan,
they teach England in Japan.
I like his own Mega Man. He's pretty big.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't put Mega Man in too.
Yeah.
So like the game is going to be released, unfortunately, as another disc from what a $40 price tag, which is probably the only thing I'm really not that crazy about, honestly, because they could have probably done it as a DLC.
Well, I was reading apparently the Quake in Japan. Upset their production schedule, and they had to release it. They decided to instead release it as a DLC. I mean, as a disc. Because the Quake sort of fucked everything up.
Oh, I didn't read
that. So way to be an insensitive asshole.
Yeah.
All right, Japan, I'm really sorry.
Who do you think you are, Gilbert? In this Godfrey? Episode, we have to apologize to Canada, French Canadians, and to the Japanese.
And the furries, too.
I didn't insult them. Have to apologize. I just said I didn't like them.
The furries
should be apologizing to us.
People are allowed to not like other people.
It's true.
Okay.
I also really like WWE's panel. Honestly, because if anyone is listening who's into wrestling, there's a whole big thing going on in wrestling just recently with CM Punk, where he was leaving the company for real, and they made it into a storyline and had him basically going off script, quote unquote, and insulting the company and insulting everything and just saying whatever he wanted to say, culminating in him winning the world title on the last night of his contract at Money in the Bank and leaving the company with it. And they had him just tweeting pictures of himself at Chicago Cubs games just holding up the title. He tweeted a picture of him just putting the title in his refrigerator alongside his Pepsi and such. And then at Comic-Con, they had the WWE panel. Triple H is up there talking about the new game coming out later this year, WWE 12. And then CM Punk just walks right in and goes into another wrestling promo, like, just talking to him about how he's been away with their belt. And I just thought it was really well done, especially now that apparently CM Punk has resigned with WWE from the storylines that have been going on recently. And I just thought that was really cool how they had him interact like that. And, yeah, that's...
It's kind of like during the Green Lantern panel, they had Conan O'Brien come in. Oh, yeah. And then he showed, like, the Flaming Sea footage.
Didn't someone have the Lego statue of him, or was
that... during at San Diego, they had, like, an art gallery of all this, like, art from the Flaming Sea and Conan O'Brien stuff. Like, yeah, it was a Green Lantern animation panel, and Conan O'Brien came in, and there was someone actually dressed up as the Flaming Sea.
All right. Well, those were our favorite moments from San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yes, it was.
You know, you can comment on our website or on Facebook and let us know what your favorite moments were. We'd love to hear. So stay tuned.
Unless your name is Jeffrey.
Oh, no. We don't want to now alienate the Jeffreys.
We're sorry to all Jeffreys, all Canadians. All Japanese.
All French-Canadians.
But not the furries. And we'll be back right after this with a review of Captain America.
By me.
By him.
And interviews with Will.
Oh, yes, and interviews with Will.
Absolutely.
Oh,
can't
yeah.
forget that.
It's gonna be...
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Captain America, first Avengers out in theaters.
Yay!
Yep. And I guess I'll do my little review now, and you guys will enjoy it.
I will. I would love it if you did your review. Could you do it for us, Meyer?
I think I have the capabilities.
That was the only reason I came for tonight's episode.
Everybody listen. This is going to be good.
All right. So Captain America, the First Avenger, is not just a movie about a superhero, but also a very old-school feeling World War II epic. And if there's one thing you'll learn by watching this movie, it's that Steve Rogers does not like bullies. Captain America begins in present day as an Arctic expedition team finds Megatron. No, wait, that's a wrong movie.
Thank God, because I was pretty horrified.
what they actually find is...
Well, it was Hugo Weaving.
I was just,
yeah. Is a highly advanced plane, and inside of it is a very familiar-looking shield that I'm sure is just a red herring.
Probably.
I'm sure.
I couldn't imagine what it would have to do with the plot.
No. The movie then flashes back to 1942, where we see the Nazi known as Red Skull, and his organization, Hydra, taking the Cosmic Cube from Argus Filch. I guess Hogwarts kicked him out.
His real name was Schmidt, right? Joseph Schmidt was the
Johann Schmidt.
Johann Schmidt.
That's the Red Skull's real name.
Yeah. So meanwhile, as that's happening, Steve Rogers is being rejected again from the army. And this first scene does a really good job of establishing who Steve Rogers is. Steve is reading the newspaper. And some guy leans over and says something along the lines of, they sure are killing a lot of our guys. Makes you think twice about enlisting, huh? And Steve just answers, nope. And I have to give credit to Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Because I really doubted his casting as Cap. Because I didn't think the guy who played Johnny Storm and Lucas Lee could pull off the role. But he did an excellent job showing Cap's sincerity and conviction. Oh,
yeah.
As well as proving that he's the guy that even the God of Thunder would follow into battle. But anyway, Steve attracts the attention of Dr. Erskine, a German refugee who just so happened to develop a super soldier serum, and who also just so happened to decide to turn Steve into that super soldier. I don't want to give the rest of the plot away, but it's fair to say that after becoming Captain America, Steve goes and fights some Nazi Hydra soldiers, as well as going gun to shield with the Red Skull, but not before he did a USO propaganda tour where Cap punched Hitler 200 times.
That was good.
Which, I thought it was a smart tribute to the iconic cover of Captain America #1.
I didn't find the USO plot line as obnoxious as I thought I would.
Yeah, it was entertaining. It was fun.
When I first heard that he was going to be part of a USO show, I was like, what? That's awful. But it actually made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's funny. There was plenty of big, exciting set pieces in the movie, including the newly empowered Steve chasing a Hydra agent through the streets of Brooklyn has Cap punching a submarine.
Yep.
Which is every bit as awesome as it sounds. There's a deadly motorcycle chase through the forests of Europe. There's multiple daring raids into Hydra bases, and a final huge airborne fight which involves Cap being thrown out of a plane and then finding a way to get back on board. But the big action sequences and the lighter elements of the movie are nicely balanced. As for the performances, there weren't any bad ones in this movie. As I already praised Chris Evans, but Stanley Tucci was a lot of fun as the fatherly yet humorous Dr. Erskine.
He's always good.
Yeah.
I read that Stanley Tucci only took that role because he wanted to do a German accent that he never did one before.
I met him once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy.
Did he give you a super soldier serum?
No.
Did you ask?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should. There you go.
He did charge me with Vita Rays, though.
Oh.
There's a picture. Actually, we can put it up. I have a picture of me on my Facebook, so we should put it up on our page.
All right, we'll tag Ed with Stanley Tucci in this picture. I'll put it up with the show notes.
Then it's Tom Lee Jones, who didn't type in a typewriter, which I'm upset about. But, you know, he was the grizzled and badass Colonel Phillips. Who's Colonel Phillips? Oh, okay.
Phelps was from L.A. Noir.
Phelps is L.A. Noir. Sebastian Stane did a good job playing Bucky as a guy who went from being Steve's protector, which I didn't mind that Steve knew him before. I didn't mind that change. You know, so he went from being Steve's protector to a man living in his shadow. The Howling Commandos were even cool, though they weren't in the movie for that long. The very lovely Haley Atwell did a good job showing Peggy Carter as a fiercely independent woman in an era where misogyny ran amok, but you know, it didn't make her into a character. It seemed really real.
She also made her really hot.
And she was very attractive. Hugo Weaving was a great Red Skull.
Yeah.
That's a good. Hugo Weaving's a pretty awesome character actor.
Once I heard totally. That he was cast as the Red Skull, I knew that at least he was going to be good.
Yeah. And Dominic Cooper played a fantastic Howard Stark, who I think he was inspired a little by Howard Hughes, it seems.
Is he English?
Yes, he is.
Because I could tell because he had a... I didn't mind his performance, but his accent was terrible.
I didn't notice.
I thought it was terrible.
I'm pretty sure he's... pretty sure. But yeah, I also liked about Donny because he didn't play... Like, he didn't just basically copy Tony Stark. Yeah. He was, like, kind of his own kind of guy.
But there was a definite, like, you could see where Tony gets it.
Yeah. And what about a shout-out to Arnim Zola, who was in Doctor Who?
That's true. Oh, I forgot his name.
I forgot the actor's name.
Toby something.
Yeah, Toby.
Toby.
It wasn't Toby Maguire. We forgot about him.
Small British character actor.
Toby something.
The Dream Lord.
Yeah.
He was really good, though, too.
I hope he's not listening. He's going to be insulted.
Yeah, now we have to apologize to this guy as well.
To Toby, what's-his-face.
So to Jeffries... Canadian, French Canadians, Japanese, and Toby, what's his face?
But not furries.
Not the furries.
So, anyway, this was a very entertaining movie, and I'd put it on the same level as Iron Man in terms of quality. What really made this movie for me was the very end. I'm not really spoiling anything when I say that Captain America gets brought back to 2011.
What?
You've ruined everything for me.
And it's
oh, he was frozen with the sheep.
I was frozen today! So it wasn't a red herring.
Oh.
Tricky.
And it's the last line Steve utters that really gets across the tragedy of the character.
Yeah.
And what he left behind. And what he meant to those left behind. And then, of course, there's the part after the credits that made me suffer a nerdgasm so hard that I am still recovering from.
Oh, is that why you were limping?
I think that's also why I hate French Canada.
We're sorry once again, all the French Canadians listening.
Was the movie just a 2-hour ad for the Avengers? Well, some may think so, but either way, this is definitely a must-see movie of the summer.
And watch out for the cameo by the original Human Torch.
Yeah, which might be also because he played Human Torch.
Yeah, it works on two levels.
Two levels. Toro is probably pissed off. He goes, what about me? I have the same powers. I'm not a robot, though.
Yeah, but he's alive again, so he can shut up.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it was pretty good. I was pleased.
Yeah, I really liked it, and I'm a huge Cap fan.
I
have Cap Shield tattooed on my arm, so I liked it.
We can post a picture of that, too, I guess.
I liked it, even though during the movie we watched, they cut off for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You guys had an interruption.
Yes, but they fixed it.
For 10 minutes.
It's all good. All
right.
But so... I still was good. And Tommy Lee Jones still didn't type in a typewriter.
So, thank you, Meyer, for that review.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Meyer.
If you guys have any comments about the Cap film or Captain America in general, or any of the, if you want to speak out on behalf of any of these groups that we've offended, except for the furries, you can comment on our website, as we say all the time, or on our Facebook page. And we'll be right back with Meyer and Ed giving Will an interview that will live on in Ragnarok history for quite some time.
I see him. He's coming.
Special edition of Unadulterated Will.
Oh yeah,
that's yay. Pure Will.
Can I 100%. If you have been following us for a while, you'll remember that
four episodes before this.
Well, you know, we've been doing this for a decent amount of time now.
Way back in episode one.
It's almost episode eight, guys.
Go back into our way.
But if you remember from our first episode, we did an introduction to Will, and it was. It was the eight questions that James Lipton asks on Inside the Actor's Studio, and we got some pretty fun
eight
answers.
Was ten.
From
ten.
Ten. Sorry, ten questions.
Way to shortchange it.
Today we have our own questions.
So what you're saying is that these questions aren't going to be as good.
Well, we're not James Lipton. These are our own.
They're
questions.
Not James Lipton caliber questions.
They haven't been refined over hundreds of interviews with celebrities.
No, and we're not gonna say them pretentiously or, well, maybe a little. Our first question for you, Will. What would you put in your spaceship?
What would I put in my spaceship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you had a spaceship, what'd you put in?
Rations.
Well, rations. All right.
What kind of rations?
Well, Will wants to make sure that he's well fed in space.
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, it would be good if you got into space, and then
oxygen.
Have food.
No, all right. I'm gonna tell you that you can shoot for the moon again. I mean, this is similar to when you said you wanted to be a security guard.
But why?
this is a
well,
spaceship.
You didn't explain that.
Well, why don't we start off with the base? This is a fully stocked spaceship.
Yeah.
It has rations. It has water. In fact,
you can say you want to put. Like a replica, like a food replicator. Like you can put whatever
you want on it.
Don't
put words in this mouth.
Sorry.
Jeez, come on,
sorry.
Man.
But ration, like let's shoot for the moon here. Well, anything you want on your spaceship.
This is supposed to be one of those things that reveals character. What would Will bring? Will, what's your packing list?
What's my packing list?
Right.
Yeah.
You got all the food and everything.
You are the
captain
of this spaceship.
Well, definitely spacesuit. But okay. Once again, that's probably part of the ship.
Will likes to eat and breathe, as do
not
we
a
all.
Bad idea.
I love eating and breathing. The two things are the best. Pictures of the family.
Okay.
When
I mean home.
Like your family.
Yeah.
My family.
Pictures
not
of Earth.
Not the royal
not?
Family?
Not the royal family. My family.
Well, would you bring pictures
the
of the royal family,
family
with
Kate Middleton's
probably not. But yeah, I do agree with that, Meyer.
But what if the royal family gave you the spaceship? Then would you bring
ooh, then I'd probably put a picture of the royal family
okay.
in there.
That's fair.
It's just tucked away.
Right, so what else would you bring on your spaceship?
Well, I don't know. Movies the past time.
What movie? Name the first movie. You can only bring one movie. What would it be?
One movie?
Yeah.
Well, duh, Star Wars.
Okay.
Which Star Wars?
Empire.
Episode 2. Ow! I deserve this.
Who's in your crew, Will?
Sorry I made you guys spike that. Eric needed to be punched.
I did.
Who are you choosing as your crew members in your spaceship?
Oh, I definitely know not Eric.
Oh.
Or Meyer or Ed.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to know what would happen if you left Meyer and Ed together on an interstellar journey.
I really don't either.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
It would be.
Well, if you took only one of us, it would...
Think about this. They're asking me these questions. You should hear them, like, outside Ragnarok.
They came up with these questions.
Well, if you could choose between me and Ed, who would you choose? Fingers crossed.
I might have to go with, just because I've known him longer, Ed.
All right.
Well, you're dead.
All right, so why don't we go on to the next question?
All right, well, let's say somehow you can be granted any superpower you have in the world. What superpower would you pick?
Well, I've answered this before. I think I chose, speed.
Super speed.
Super speed.
Super speed.
Like,
super speed?
Like Quicksilver or Flash.
Flash.
Okay.
Definitely.
What would you use your power for?
Well, for one, help people. Okay. Two, what?
You'd actually use your superpowers to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, you know, get around.
You're whole or running.
I got to be. You can run 1 second.
You know,
done.
The thing about you, sure you can run fast now, if you're at super speed, but you can't run to begin with. So you'd be like running like down the block. Oh god!
Well, presumably if he has super speed.
I have a super metabolism. And
he'd probably get further than speed one block before he got tired.
All right, you could go.
Will just stops in Iowa, winded and swayed.
Can't go any further.
Oh god, I'm so out of shape.
Oh, not a bad idea.
Take a break. Eat a hot dog. Continue.
So why did I go to Iowa?
You'd fight crime. So what would your superhero name be?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Think of it now.
Well, now you're being a superhero.
You thought about running to Iowa to get a hot dog, but you didn't think of your superhero name.
Hey, Will's a practical man.
Well, guys, you know, sometimes you just
got to think really have a name.
You got to prioritize.
It'd just be Fess Will.
That's our impression of Will, by the way. He doesn't sound like
Super Will.
We all think Will talks
like Super Will.
Super Will.
Let's go, Super Will.
Super Will would be his. Okay, so we have
Super Will.
We have Super Will with super speed,
faster than speed.
All right.
It wouldn't be Flash Walson.
It could be Flash Walson. That'd
that
be good
that sounds too. More like a sexual predator.
That is the worst superhero name ever. Like,
yeah, also, it's
well,
not.
They,
it's
well,
not
they
really
would
much,
know my last name.
It's
good.
Not really much of a secret identity if you if you reveal your actual name and your superhero name.
Who is Super William Olsen?
But it could
super
be super,
and
could,
then Will's social security number.
Like, you know, Billy the Flash, because Billy's pretty generic.
Yeah, Billy the Flash.
All right, well, let's move on to our next question, which is, if you could time travel anywhere, where and when would it be?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You said that about some of James Lipton questions, so I feel
you
like...
You got James Lipton question.
Oh, actually, that was
guys,
nice. I like
you
this
You guys
question.
Hit it out of the park.
That's
that.
A good question. I'd probably go back to probably, like it's going to sound weird, but back to 1994.
That okay. does sound weird.
That's it a very sound. Specific time.
Why 1994?
Well, it's kind of.
But you can go any. You can go to the future and see what. You can go
way
in the past of dinosaurs.
Will just loved being in second grade.
I'm a Dre Will.
Yeah, you guys are trying to change my answer. Why change my answer?
Why would you go to 1994?
Why would you go to 1994?
Why would you go to 94?
Duh, go see Green Day.
Oh, you can.
Back in the day.
See history happening. You can literally see history happening. You see dinosaurs. You see the future.
I don't care about dinosaurs. I don't see dinosaurs. They've already ruined Velociraptors.
Fuck about
dinosaurs. Not
really
like
they ruined. Wait, what ruined Velociraptors for
feathers.
You?
What?
What?
You mean that Velociraptors have feathers?
No.
They do.
Oh, and what that makes them
okay.
So, they have like more like birds
okay.
and
feathers. Are, that's it.
Reptiles
next,
now.
Next, you'll be saying that they can't really open doors.
See, for some reason, when you first asked the question, the first answer for Will that popped into my head was the French Revolution. And I knew that wasn't going to be the answer.
So you would not want to see the future.
I was hoping for something either really poignant or something like 1994.
Well, I was going to say not the assassination of Caesar or the building of the pyramids or, you know, Columbus discovering America.
If I had a second choice, I'd definitely go see... If I had a second choice, I'd go and see... like, maybe, like, what's the deal about Jesus?
What's the deal about Jesus?
What's the deal about Jesus?
So Jesus comes second to Green Day.
Uh-huh.
Not that he would go visit Jesus or maybe go listen to the Sermon on the Mount or try to be inspired by him, but what's the deal about Jesus?
What's the deal with Jesus?
Sounds like a bad sitcom.
That's what they're doing.
All right.
That was fantastic.
That was quite a good. That was a good one, Will. Thank you.
What's the deal with Jesus?
I think we may need to change the title this episode.
So, are you really the son of God or what?
Do you have the time? Hey, Jesus, listen to this song. Do you have the time? Maybe Will can go back in time and switch Jesus and Billy Joe.
Maybe Billy Joel's Jesus.
Billy Joel?
Yeah. Billy Joel. He just sings the Me of Suburbia.
All right, that's...
All right, well. So, Will... Here's the fourth question.
Not sure we could top that one.
What's the deal?
So, question number four, Will.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
All right. You wake up. You realize you're abducted by aliens.
Oh, shit.
What do you do?
Oh, shit.
you just sit there.
You should say, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
I would probably freak out.
What do you think would happen? What do you think the aliens would do to you?
I don't want to know what they want
do an impression. Like, I want to hear what you would do. Like, you wake up.
If I do the impression right now, I'm going to spike.
Okay, well, do it, but, like softly.
Ha! Ha! Something like that. Kind of like the terrified look that I had when Eric came in the door in the dark.
You would just...
comparable to an alien.
Let's say this, Will. Let's say these aren't the, you know, rapey, dissecty type of aliens.
I would still scream.
These aliens, maybe they want you for some kind of a human zoo.
He doesn't know what the aliens are going to do.
I don't know what they're
going
to do. I just wake up.
You're not strapped down.
You're like a
still scream.
So, but what would you, scream? Would you get up? Would you run?
Try and run out, yeah.
You know, get out of bed, you look out the window, and you see yourself.
Probably die from a heart attack or something. I don't know what
the hell is going to
happen.
So you're going to run away or die.
What do you think the aliens would look like?
I've been abducted by aliens!
Talk us through this.
A generic alien, you know? Like big head, big eyes,
generic
mouth.
So Will gets abducted by the Greys, has a heart attack, and dies.
If I saw a real alien, I'd flip.
Okay, what do you
think? I'm picturing Will.
What do you think the aliens would do? So let's say you just scream and they come, say... You know, whatever the aliens speak.
Bleep, bloop, there's more to this question now.
You asked me my reaction.
This is an expansive question, Will.
Okay.
It's very deep.
Well, there's been more to every question.
And you're going, bleep, bloop, bloop, bloop. That's how they're talking?
Just like that?
Well, yeah. What do you think the aliens are talking?
It's a quote.
I'm going to go with yours.
All right. So, like, bleep, bloop, 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 bloop. What do you think, what happens to the aliens see? In your head, what do the aliens do to you? What happens?
Oh my god.
No, that's not what do the aliens do to you? They're not going,
oh my god.
Just go to their head.
Well, maybe they got abducted too, and they're thinking, oh my god, it's an alien.
You're giving me limited time to use my imagination right now.
Use your imagination. What do you think? This is something you should have asked me before the show.
Then it would be adulterated with. Our title would be a lie.
I would hope that they're not going to hurt me.
Okay, let's hope, but what. Okay, so they don't hurt you. What did they do?
I don't know.
Do you fall to your knees and say, please don't hurt me?
Yeah, that's basically what I do.
What if they start making out with you? They put a finger up your butt and go, hey, baby.
That would be...
You are now my wife.
That would be a fear. That would be like, I would...
That would be your number one fear.
No, that would just be me screaming in horror again.
Baby,
you
my
scream
wife
at
now.
Your husband.
I think you guys are going to give Will nightmares.
Right,
we're being married in Space Vegas.
Let's go on to our last question.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. All right.
Space Vegas.
And maybe you shouldn't ask him this last one. If
you
think
that's ridiculous. I'm going to 1994.
Jesus.
Screw this. I'm going to go listen to Green Day in 1994.
What's the deal with Jesus? I don't know.
All right.
Jesus question.
Describe in detail...
In detail.
Your first day of the zombie apocalypse. You wake up, zombie apocalypse.
And it's happening. Holy shit, it happened. That'd be the first thing that would go through my mind.
Fair enough.
Okay, I can see that.
Second thing would be the zombie survival survival plan that James has thought out.
James is, I think we tagged him in the first episode.
No, we tagged Paul.
Yeah. Didn't we tag James also?
I brought up James.
But yeah, he was brought up, and I don't think we... Yeah,
I think we cut that
no
out.
No one cares enough about James to...
Yeah.
Sorry, James, you're listening.
Well, I guess we'll have actually, to we'll have to listen. Post a picture of James.
James is rather zombie-obsessed.
He does love his zombies.
So you would go to James'
house? What's
the plan? So what is the plan?
What's the zombie plan?
Well, that's the thing. I can't describe the plan.
This is an audio podcast.
Why
you can't just go...
describe the plan?
Because everyone else is going to try the same
plan. Yeah, they're
going to
try our plan. Why would they want... Why would you do that?
So why wouldn't you want
give
other,
away your plan?
Why wouldn't you want other people to be successful?
Because it's a zombie apocalypse. It's
you're a terrible person.
Yeah,
also,
but, no, but the zombies aren't going to figure out your plan.
Well, think about
the zombies.
But everybody
zombie
in zombie apocalypse
guys.
Will be all right.
You know what? So,
okay, so you have to stick
and okay.
You
know what? So is part of the plan going to James's house?
No.
So wherever, okay, wherever you meet James, though, right?
So you
he's
have a zombie. You have a meeting point.
He's a zombie.
He's there. And you see him as he's getting eaten, so he's a zombie. So his plan's gone. So what do you do?
Well, I guess I still continue with the plan, just don't have James in it.
All right.
Okay, well, everyone else is dead. It's just you.
You can't do the plan.
Still do the plan.
You can't do the plan. There's
why can't you do the plan?
Because
we don't know what the plan is.
And you're not telling us what the plan is.
I can't tell you what the plan is.
Exactly. So we need to answer this. You can't
so
just
what you're saying is that you and James
the
and
plan,
other people...
How much will I
I'm saying
you
have to make a new
why
plan.
Why are you
going to
be in trouble?
So wait, I just want to get this straight. You're saying that you, James, and other people are so serious about the zombie apocalypse that you've discussed, and you have an actual plan
that you are
secret
sworn
plan
to secrecy about
that you can't tell anyone about because why?
Well, if those people become
because
zombies,
if they get the other people get the same idea of where we're going,
shit,
stuff,
we just heard this on
they're
right,
gonna
they're gonna what?
They're gonna flock to our plan.
I
so
also
we
like,
wanna make sure we get to a food source for everyone else.
All right. If any future zombies are listening, close your ears for a little while.
second off, I just realized this. We're not part of the plan.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
We're not.
So Will's abandoning us.
Wow. Will.
All right. So first thing, the zombie apocalypse. Will wakes up, says, "Oh shit, it happened." He's
you
like, "Well, fuck those other guys."
And he abandons his friends.
Abandons his friends.
James.
Fuck my friends. I'm gonna go meet with James somewhere so we can secure a food source.
Right.
Is it gonna be Walmart, supermarket?
I hope aliens abduct your ass.
And you get married in Space Vegas.
So, folks, if you're listening, start trying to figure out the plan, because apparently they got a really good one. And
it's something even one person could do, apparently.
Yeah.
It's too good for us to know.
Ragnarok contest. Find out what Will's and James'
I'm going to put this to anybody who's listening. Please, post on our wall. On our wall. Well, on our wall.
On our Facebook wall or...
Or on our website, what you think the zombie apocalypse plan is.
Or what your plan is, because maybe you're not a selfish prick.
Or maybe you want to share the wealth.
Or
you know,
actually try to save other lives.
Maybe your plan's better than Will's, you know? Because
guys, if there's a zombie apocalypse, you guys listening out there, you're going to be part of it. You're going to be part of our plan.
Yeah, we're not...
Well, they're also going to be part of the zombie apocalypse.
We're going to save all of you.
Yeah, Will apparently...
Oh,
nope.
Fuck that.
He's like, nope, they're dead.
Twizzle, I'm coming to save you myself.
Eric's definitely dead.
That's besides the point.
Why are you so mean to Eric?
Yeah, really? I'm like the nicest one of you, us, to you.
It's true. All right, well, we've learned a lot about Will.
Except about the zombie apocalypse.
We've learned that he puts Green Day above Jesus.
Yeah.
Though he wants to know what the deal with Jesus is.
If any of you have any photographs of Green Day concerts from 1994, start checking the crowds for Will.
We've learned about his alien fears. We've learned
his super ego, super Will.
And we learned that we really don't matter to him.
Right.
Yeah. I'm honestly a little insulted.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions or any comments on it, please, like I said, Facebook or on our website.
Or email.
Don't forget to email us. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and subscribe to us on iTunes.
Thank you, Will.
Myra's giving me a look right now.
All right, everybody. That does it here at Ragnarok.
That's a wrap.
That is a wrap.
Remember, don't tell anybody about the plan.
Don't tell anybody.
No, don't tell
anyone
the plan.
James will have to change the plan.
Don't even tell anyone you've heard of something that could be the plan.
Just forget those four letters of the alphabet completely.
But I had fun today. It was good discussing everything.
What four letters of the alphabet?
You said ah. A is in plan.
Shut up.
Yeah, enjoy the podcast, except for the living spiders. I could have done it without that.
Yeah, those spiders were very creepy. Horrible.
Especially since they're living spiders.
Those are the worst kind.
yeah,
at least
anyway.
They weren't mechanized living
spiders. Yeah, so, you know, if you guys want to comment us at all, you know, comment us at our website, ragnarok.com. You can drop us an email at info@ragnarok.com. Facebook, you can like us, comment us on Facebook/Ragnarok, or on Twitter @ragnarok.com. But that should do it. For this podcast, I'm Meyer.
I'm Ed.
I'm still Phineas Q. Hodgepile.
I'm Alex.
I'm Eric.
And I'm still Meyer. And I don't know who Ryan is.
I'll be Ryan again if you guys really want me to be.
No, I kind of like Phineas Q. Hodgepile.
I
want to
hang
out with him more often. Ryan, you're out. Phineas, you're in.
Okay.
Everyone. Goodbye, and the Ragnarok is nigh.
Yep, we're headed back to 1994 to see Billy Joe perform back in the day.
And then maybe we'll go find out what the deal with Jesus is.
So we hope you enjoyed episode number 5. Only 2 more of these pieces of shit before we get to record episode 8.
Oh, episode 8. That's going to be it. Lord, the devil says I.